is a set song, Discourse with Maitreya at the Feast of Tabernacles, 10/03/1990. Maitreya, when you dance Hari Om Shri Hung, you have to let the Holy Ghost take over. After a while, you will dance Hari Om Shri Hung in the spirit. You don't have to do it formally. If you can just go with the spirit, don't worry, let go. After a while, maybe the Holy Ghost will take over, and you will start speaking in tongues and rolling around, like the holy rollers, like the day of Pentecost. They started speaking in many different languages. You may start speaking German, English, French, and even Persian, even Iraqi, and everyone was laughing. So just let the spirit take over. That's what Hari Om Shri Hung is for. Don't be rigid about it. Let it get into you so that the spirit starts dancing instead of you. You are not there anymore, just the spirit is. How is the feast so far? Many people have put a lot of effort into this feast. We have to thank all of them, even if some of them are not here. But we thank them for the effort they put into it. We have to let them know we appreciate what they did and that we wish they were here. But that's not ours to say. We always just present the mission, the message. The rest is up to God. It's not us doing it. We give the message, and it's not ours anymore, it is theirs. They heard the message, and then we are free. We don't have to worry about, oh, I have to get this person to the mission. Oh, why is she not coming? Why is he not coming? It's all right. There is a nice saying in Shakti's house. Some people come into our lives, and they go away. Some come and stay with us. They affect our lives, and we are never going to be the same. That's also true about the mission. Some people come, and they have a little thing to do for the mission, and they go away. They might return, you never know. But we shouldn't hang on to the people, try to force them to the mission. Just present the mission, give them your love, talk to them, and pray for them. If they make it, that's great, they have been called for it. If they do not make it, they have not been called, or they may be called later on. It's really not up to us. Remember, Christ only had 12 disciples, 12 dedicated disciples. It's very hard to find dedicated and responsible people who really want to be good. A lot of people want to feel good. Very few people want to be good. That's the difference between God's people and others. The people of God are good. That's the question. Do you want to feel good or do you want to be good? When you want to be good, sometimes it doesn't feel good, because you give and give, and the world takes and takes and takes. You say, what happened? I gave all this and nothing happened, nothing manifested. That means you are attached to the results of your actions. That means you want something in return. You're expecting something. So we do our best and leave the rest to the Lord, and He takes care of it. But we thank everyone for the effort they put into organizing this feast. Whatever God does for us, that's the way He wants it to happen. If the energy seems to be a little not flowing, that's great. It means that new energy has come in. We have to blend this new energy with the old energy. It's just like when you want to make a cocoa drink. You mix up cocoa with milk. At first, the cocoa is a little lumpy, and it doesn't mix up with the rest of the milk. You have to mix it up and really stir it for a long time before everything is mixed up and it's smooth again. Of course, if you put in another lump of cocoa, again you have to do the same thing, stirring and mixing the whole thing together. That's why we are here this week, to bring our energy to a mixed energy. We expand our energy to one another, so we eventually become one, we become flowing again, we become open, we become loving. We love one another as God loves us. When we do that, we forget our being the separate selves. We become a collective body, the individual in the collective body. The East is very collective in mind, the eastern part of the earth. The West is very individualistic. We have to bring a balance, reach a middle path. So we have to create an environment that is individual in the collective body. We have to create individuality with a collective consciousness, individuality in a collective oneness. Then we can accomplish great things. That's also one of the reasons the mission is here. We can see that the left and right sides of the brain of the human are becoming more in balance, as is the earth. We are becoming more balanced people in creativity and, at the same time, in the calculative part of the brain. the two spheres of the earth, east and west, are also becoming more balanced. Question. Here's a question in the feast. How do you deal with the opposition of the world after you have grown spiritually? For example, the prophets of the Old Testament suffered. Esau, Jesus, and most of his disciples were sentenced to death, and Bob was shot. Maitreya, that's sad, isn't it? Whenever a truth comes from God, the prophet has to go through such a struggle to convey the message. Many times we can see that from the very beginning, from Noah to Moses to Christ to Muhammad to Bob, all of them suffered great sufferings at the hands of those who thought they were doing the right thing. The person who was teaching the new religion was an infidel to them. Because of their human minds and ways, they thought that what he said was against their traditions. What he said was against what they believed. To them, they were doing the right thing because he was saying what they were not used to hearing and understanding. So to them, they were doing the right thing to destroy these men who they felt were against them. But none of them really were. None of the prophets were against anyone. Prophets bring a new teaching which actually progresses humanity to another step of understanding, to a higher level of evolution. No, to a higher level of realization. But the human loves to resist new things, especially when it comes to religion and ideology. The human doesn't want to hear a new religion. He wants to stay where he is. He is comfortable. Familiarity is more comfortable than to learn a new way or ways. So when the prophet comes and brings a new religion, a new ideology, a new revelation, probably he is ahead of his time. When he is ahead of humanity, they have a hard time to understand him. And because they have a hard time to understand, they don't want him to say what he is saying. Also, it is probably that they feel it is opposing their social setup. It's just like Prophet Muhammad, who came and said, "There is no God but Allah. There is no God but God." He was saying this in Mecca, the center of the worshipping of idols for 365 days a year for all the religions around Mecca, going from India to North Africa. It was a route for traveling merchants. All those merchants would come and worship in Mecca. Each had their idol in Mecca. Muhammad said, "There is no God but God." That meant there is only one God. 365 gods in Mecca were no gods any longer. So the people in Mecca became very up in arms at what he said. They didn't pay too much attention to him in the beginning, but when his followers started growing and became strong, they said, "Well, this really is going to be a threat to the 365 gods," and they were going to lose a lot of business because the merchants with different beliefs would no longer come that route to stay in Mecca, etc. So they started opposing him. But after Muhammad succeeded, Mecca not only became a greater center of business, it became a great city. A lot of people started traveling to it, and they even started becoming greater in all levels, scientifically, merchandising, and theologically. Everything became much greater than before. So the resistance comes from human fears. No one has to fear anything from our mission because we're not opposing anyone. We're not opposing business, we're not opposing any ideology, we're not opposing any religion, but still a lot of people resist us, probably because they have their own ideas of what their religion should be and of what ideology there should be. If I was not in this country, who knows what would have happened with this new religion? In some other countries, anything against their religion or beliefs means they can cut off the head of the person. And that would be it, because what we say is too far out for them. God has prepared humanity this time in such a way that we can talk about these things without fear of being persecuted. At least not right away, because this is a country where individual expression is protected by law. So maybe that is why God guided us, or guided me, to come to this place and then revealed this new revelation to us. So we don't have to worry about those things, and we can comfortably preach our message and send out our literature to the many people who want it. Still, even here, sometimes I am concerned about other people in other countries who receive our literature that they might be in trouble. Some countries have laws that the only religion you can follow is one religion. If you have any other ideology or any other religion, you might be in trouble. Humans are not very flexible. They don't like new things, like new religions and new ideologies. They want to be comfortable with the old ways. With every new religion that comes, the old religion, the old setup, opposes them for a while. This occurred even with Buddha and with Krishna. Anyone who believes in a new religion or ideology is going to be opposed a little bit. But the opposition never succeeds. They even crucified Christ. Did they succeed to stop him? No. It really wasn't Christ as an individual who was doing this, it was the spirit behind Christ. God wanted that revelation to come to humanity, to take hold of the spirit of the humans and expand them to this new revelation. So we can see that it doesn't matter. This is the appearance that we see. We shouldn't become too much involved in appearances. Sometimes it appears that everything is falling apart and nothing is happening. But in spirit, in the ethereal world, much is occurring. We have not been able to make a lot of people really respond to this message because they are very much caught up in their own individual problems, individual lives, and they're not able to come out of them. These individual problems become so important to them that the greater vision is not sinking in. They probably have a problem about why say shalom instead of just saying hello. I don't want to call it the devil, but we are working with the principalities here. The principalities, I used to call them creatures in everyone, or these creatures, have been running our lives all the time until now. We close our eyes and we shed the light into that darkness. These creatures can only live in the darkness. The moment you close your eyes and you shed light in the corners of the darkness in your spirit, those creatures start running away from it, because they can't live in the light. They're very afraid of the light. They run away to even deeper darkness in you. They say, what happened? We were running his life or her life. Now he wants to look at us? He wants to destroy us? The only thing that can destroy us is light. So when they see it, they retreat. They retreat, they regroup, and become even stronger. They bring their strength together and they fight back. It's the same thing also when the new revelation comes. That's light to the earth. This is light to the earth. The greatest sign is light to the earth. But all the religions of the world don't want to see this light. That's why in the beginning they withdraw, then they renew their strength, and then they want to come back and destroy, but they can't. The same thing happens with you. When you meditate, those dark creatures maybe go deeper in a darker part of you, regroup and become stronger than before. But who is going to be the winner? You are going to be the winner if you keep up the fight and keep shedding the light on them, because you have the light. Now we can see that we will be the winner if we continue meditating, if we keep going deeper and deeper in ourselves, and if we put the light within ourselves. Those creatures can't live for long. It's the same thing at the mission. Some people would come, and I would explain to them that this is the mystical paths, that is the communities of light. You can create communities of light. You sacrifice in the communities of light until you become submissive and surrendered. You become a universalist. You become a paravipra, and you help the whole universe. We go all around the greatest sign, and people say, oh, interesting. And at the end, they say, good luck, and they go away. But if we could go on with the mission, no matter what happens around us, we could see that all goes to God, and we're not going to stop for anything. Nothing can stop us. So that's why I used to say, even if I have to do this mission with my teeth, I will do it. I will drag it with my teeth and take it to where it's supposed to go. So we shouldn't concentrate on the negativity that happens around us, but on the positivity of where we are going, and march toward that goal, that unity, that oneness. If we have seen the vision, our personal problems become no problems any longer. They really are small little things. If you expand your consciousness to God, if you expand your consciousness to the vision, your personal problems will give up. In comparison to the universe, you are just a speck. You are a particle of dust in the universe. The universe is 20 billion light years in size. And still they are finding more. That's all they have found. So far they have found 20 billion light years. That is, if you go with the speed of light, 300 kilometers a second, it will take you 20 billion years to reach the brink of the universe that they know so far. Then compare yourself to this universe. You are just a speck. You are even smaller than a speck, and then you have problems? He's laughing. And you think your problems are the most important things in the universe. But if you really meditate on it, expand yourself, and realize God, 99% of your problems are no problems. Are no problems. If you can see that 99% of your problems are no problems, then that real 1% of the problems can easily be solved, so really you don't have any problems. If you don't have any problems, then you are in joy. You are one with God. You can just completely become one with the Spirit of God, dance, chant, and do His will all the time, with the focus on the positivity in everything that you do. I think that's a good place to stop, certainly. Very positive ending. So I'll stop there in this satsang and let somebody else take on. Thanks, God. Salam.